James 1, 2 through 18 is our text this morning. I'm going to read it. If you have a Bible, you can follow along. There's Bibles underneath the pew. You can grab one of those, or you can just follow along with the screen. But here we go. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised them to those who love Him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, "God is tempting me." God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anybody else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift from coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word. And we, out of all creation, became His prized possession. James, right? I mean, he just lays it out there, doesn't he? So last week we started this series, and in this called Practical Christian Living, and in this series we're going to go through the book of James. And last week we just kind of introduced the book, and we found out who wrote the book of James, and we had fun with that. And we were introduced to James, or Jacob, and we learned that he was the brother of Jesus. We talked about how James tells us right off that if you are a Christian, you will experience hardship. You will endure trials. You will undergo testing. James tells us that while we are experiencing these things, it is important that we remember to have joy. Joy because Jesus suffered, so that when we suffer, we are drawn closer to Jesus and we can relate to His suffering. Joy because we know that while we are enduring trials and we are enduring hardships, that we are reminded that this life, this is not it. We have a life to come, one that is promised in the book of Revelation, right? You guys know Revelation 21:4 well, I think. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Those are comforting words, friends. They are. There is a life that is coming, a life that we will soon see, where there's no more trouble, there's no more hardship, there's no more pain, there's no more sorrow. it's life for all of eternity with our Father. So the question is, taking that big chunk of scripture that I just read, the question is, how do we respond to trouble? If we're going to have it, if it's promised to us, how do we respond? Well, I think the first thing is you have to embrace it. That's number one. You know, we dived deeply into verses 2 through 4 last week and discussed how that since we would endure trial and hardship, that we need to have a plan to manage that. We talked about how God will sustain us and that our response should be one of joy in the face of trials. And no, joy does not mean that you have to be happy, right? It doesn't mean you have to have a fake smile on your face. We're not lunatics here, right? The trials we are talking about here, maybe it's the loss of a job, maybe the loss of a loved one, maybe some illness that you just can't overcome. And do you have to be happy about those things? Absolutely not. No, you don't. You don't have to be happy about those. But can you be joyful? Joyful is not happiness. Joyful is deeper than that. Joyful reaches into your soul. Kay Warren from Saddleback. She says, joy is a settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in every situation. We know the end of the story, right? If you are in Jesus, you know at the end, it may not be in this life, but you know in the next life, in the afterlife, in the eternal life, it's going to be amazing. It's going to work out. And there'll be no more crying and no more sorrow and no more pain, no more heartache, no more death, no more disease, no more illness. None of that will touch us in the next life. It won't. Because of that, we can look forward to that and we can have joy within us because we know this life is not it. So we talked about all that last week. So we'll kind of quickly work past that one. But the number one was embrace it. Number two is you lean in. When you have trial, when you have heartache, when you have temptation, when you have just a big mess in your life, lean in. Listen, James 1, 5 through 8, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with a divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea and is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world and they are unstable in everything they do. Lean in to your pain. Lean in to your suffering. Lean in to the trials. Lean in to the temptation. Lean in. You cannot change anything. So lean in. The question is this. Are you able to thank God for your circumstance? Are you able to thank God? When I had a stroke, right? And I was recovering and I had brain surgery and my emotions were all over the place. And I audibly, one of the few times in my life, I felt God say to myself, to me. Thank me for this situation. Oh, thank you. This is the worst thing in my life. Why would I thank you for this? Thank you. But I learned so much that all the trust I had was God. He was the only one that I could trust. He was the only one that could bring me through. He was the only one. So God, thank you, not for the terrible thing that happened to me, but thank you for the circumstance. Thank you for the lessons learned. Thank you for this boy. He turns 3 on Tuesday. And it's hard. You think, well, why is it hard? I mean, he's turning 3. It's great. It's awesome. He runs around like a little monkey, and he hangs on everything. He's full of life. And man, it is hard to remember. It's hard to remember 3 years ago. Yesterday, we had a Facebook memory. You guys know how that works, right? It popped up and said, 3 years ago, I put out on Facebook taking Heather to the hospital. I don't know what's going to happen. Please pray. You guys remember this? Please pray that our baby holds on. Please pray that Heather is able to hold that baby for another week, another month, another 2 months. Please pray. God, please save our baby. And she did. She held the baby for what, like another 4 days, I think. And then Elijah was born. And we spent 4 months not knowing, was he going to make it? We spent 4 months with trials and trust and just, it was 4 months of just pure, I don't know what to say. It was awful. And the good news is, of course, here he is. He's amazing and he's full of life, but it's still hard. It's still hard to remember, and it's still hard to bring all those things back up. And here's the deal, guys. I'm not at the point where I can say, God, thank you for having my baby born at 1 pound, 6 ounces. I'm not there yet. I want to be. But I am thankful for all the lessons, for all the trust, for all the faith, for all the prayers, for all the... I'm thankful for all that. I'm thankful for this body here and the way that you all rallied around him and you guys helped us. And man, I learned so much about the body of Christ and what it is to look like Jesus when somebody else is in suffering and pain. Thank you for that. So yeah, I'm not ready quite to thank you, God, for that. I am thankful for him, and I'm thankful for lots of things that I learned. But I want to be. I want to be at the point where I can say, God, thank you for this hardship in my life. And thank you for that time, because it was so hard. It was the hardest thing that I ever dealt with. It was the hardest thing that I've ever gone through. But you pulled me through, and because of that, I'm thankful. I am thankful for that. God showed up in big ways over and over and over again. But it is inevitable that we are going to endure trials and hardships. So instead of spending all of our effort and focus trying to remove ourselves from that situation, which almost never works, What if we leaned in? What if we embraced it? And what if we tried to figure out what God was teaching us and how God was going to show up? Lean in. Embrace the bad situation. Turn it to your advantage. Do you work in a dysfunctional workplace? Well, embrace that bad situation. Figure out how it works and learn to make it work for you. Did you pay a ridiculous amount of money to go see a horrible, terrible movie that you, about 5 minutes in, you're like, this is awful. I just wasted $40. If you did, embrace it. Lean into it. Make fun of it. Laugh yourself silly about it. Don't just be mad. Lean in. Does this mean that you should just passively accept anything that comes your way? Of course not. If you get cancer, that of course is a horrible situation. Should you fight it? Of course you should. Radiation, chemo, whatever it takes. But while you are doing all that, can you lean in? Can you listen for what God is teaching you? Can you embrace the Holy Spirit? Can you use the instance to draw closer to Jesus, to partner with His suffering? You will have grief, you will have sorrow, you will have trepidation, and those go with all major hardships, with all major disappointments. But can you also ask God for some wisdom? Can you ask God for grace? Can you ask God to bolster your faith? If you ask Him, He will. He'll give it to you. When we ask for more of His attributes and when we ask for more of Him, He gives over and over again. Does that mean He will cure you? No. Does it mean He'll take away your pain? Not necessarily. Will He deliver you from financial hardship? Not always. Will He heal your broken relationship? Sometimes. Other times He doesn't. And I don't know why He sometimes intervenes and sometimes He doesn't. I don't know why. In fact, if I think about it hard enough, it makes my brain hurt. But here's what I've learned through my life. That God is with me. And if I will just lean into whatever life throws at me, then He will show up. Matthew 8:24-25 is a perfect example. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke Him up shouting, "Lord, save us! We are going to drown!" You guys remember this story, right? And Jesus wakes up, rubs his eyes, and he's like, "What's going on?" He's like, "What do you mean what's going on? This storm is terrible. We are going to die. Wake up!" And Jesus is like, "You don't know who you got in the boat." "Stop. Be still. Be calm." And the disciples said, "Who is this man that even the wind and the waves stop?" Who's in your boat? Who's in it? You have the most powerful force in the universe in the boat with you. Lean in. Lean in. Number three is to keep an eternal perspective. James 1:9-12 says, "Believers, who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Listen, man looks at the outer appearance, but God is concerned about our faithfulness. You ever notice how the most famous people, the most successful people, and for many times the funniest people, often have the saddest lives? I love these three guys. Robin Williams, Chris Farley, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's not dead. But when I was watching that documentary, I just felt so sad. He's a billionaire. $1 billion in the bank. He won 6 NBA titles. I mean, what more could you ask for? And yet, when you watch that thing, man, the guy is a broken mess. And he still carries grudges about from junior high. And you're like, maybe you should just let that go because that's you. This guy, one of the most famous and talented actors and the funniest people in the world, you could just see it in him. He was such a sad, sad man. And the one that's not as famous, but my favorite, I love Chris Farley. He was my hero. But basically, he killed himself because he just did drugs and alcohol to make the pain go away. Listen. There are people that are poor and destitute that love Jesus. And there are people who have more money than they could spend in 5 lifetimes that love Jesus. And there are all kinds of people in between that love Jesus. But verses 9 through 12 remind us that we should be thankful no matter what class we find ourselves in, no matter whether we are currently having our faith tested or not, because it can all change in an instant. All of it can be turned on its head in a flash. And what God is looking for is whether or not His children will say, like in verse 12, will they patiently endure testing and temptation? Because afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Look, thankfully, this life is not it. Thankfully, there is more to this life than the hand that you have been dealt. Church, we have to keep an eternal perspective. We have to. James 1, 13 through 15. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entices us and drags us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Listen, our evil desires, not God, are the source of our undoing. God offers us escape from our sinful self, from our evil desires. He is not the one that is testing us. He is not hanging evil in front of us so that when we bite, He can say, "Yes, now I get to strike you down." That's not what God is doing. That's not God. This idea is what Jesus was talking about in Luke 11:11. It says, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? God is not capable of leading us astray, just like I am not capable of harming my kids. If dumb old me would never do anything to harm or mislead my children, how would a perfect God ever do the same for his kids? He wouldn't. It is not in his nature, his perfect, holy, and always trustworthy nature. That's not part of him. It's not who he is. And number four is that we trust God. James 1, 16 to 18. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all his creation, have become his prized possession. Listen, God is not fickle. We are his prized possessions. He has given up everything for us. He sacrificed his one and holy Son for us. He leaves the 99 to save the one. He is totally and completely trustworthy. He wants the best for us, even in those times that we don't want the best for ourselves. He is always forgiving, always full of grace, and full of mercy. He not only wants the best for you, but he wants the best for your neighbor. He wants the best for your enemy even. He desires that everyone, every single human that draws breath, that they would be saved by the love of Jesus. My God is trustworthy. He is love, he is peace, and he brings peace to my life through his Son and through his Spirit. God's Word is producing new life in us. His Word refines us, it guides us, and it changes us. His Word is life. His Word never, ever leads us astray. But rather, his word leads us to newness, to freshness, and to eternity with him. Trust him, please. Trust Jesus. Trust that through it all, he is working things out for his kids, for you and me, whom he absolutely loves. Trust him. This morning, I want us to hear Romans 8, 28 through 39. Now listen to this. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised and who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Now listen. Listen. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ and Jesus our Lord. God loves you. Trust him.